Well, the Bible is our guide. You know that. It's our final authority for all things faith and practice. We say that, okay? And I believe this is true. I believe that you believe this is true, which is why you're in Sunday school. One of the areas the Bible speaks about is who we should be in our lives. I mean, our character, okay? The Bible speaks about, especially in the book of Proverbs, but all throughout Scripture, the book of Proverbs speaks about 26 kinds of characteristic of a man and 11 kinds of characteristics of a woman. Now, many of these have application to the other gender, but the Bible has a lot to say about these characteristics. For instance, in Proverbs, we can find instruction on the diligent man or the good man, the upright man, the conscientious man. Or we can find out about the virtuous woman or the wise woman or the prudent woman. Conversely, we can also find out about the slothful man or the wicked man and the evil man and the strange woman and the angry woman and the foolish woman. But I just want to take a brief look this morning at one of those descriptions of a godly characteristic. And I took a look at it to see if I measured up to it. And I want to look with you briefly at the just man. And of course, you need to look at it as well and judge yourself according to the mirror of the Word of God. Are these things true in your life? If the Bible talks about the just man, I want to know who he is. I want to know what he is all about. Because as a child of God, then I should be like this just man. And so should you. In Proverbs chapter 24, verse 16, this is one of many verses that we'll look at. Proverbs 24, 16. The Bible says, "For a just man," so there's the just man, "falleth seven times and riseth up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief." The just man is in contrast to the wicked man many times. In the Bible, in Proverbs, Proverbs speaks extensively of the wicked man. Okay, Proverbs, I'll just read some verses here. Proverbs 3:33, "The curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked," okay, "but he blesseth the habitation of the just." Proverbs 4:19, "The way of the wicked is darkness." Proverbs 11:18, "The wicked worketh a deceitful work." And so, I mean, there's 87 verses in Proverbs alone that mention the wicked man or the wicked person. The word wicked in Proverbs is translated evil, harm, mischief, grievous, heavy. These are words that describe a tremendous level of badness, if I can use the word badness. A tremendous level of wickedness and abomination. These are not words that I want used to describe me by the Lord, okay? Or I don't want someone else to describe me with those words. But I think it's clear that we don't want to be that person, that man, the wicked person. So in contrast to the wicked man, there is the just man. That's what I want to look at. So who is this just man, and why should we spend just a little time this morning studying him? Well, a just man or a just person has the ability to make proper decisions. He would act in an equitable manner in the position of a judge and honest in the duties of a police officer. Anyone in authority needs to possess the characteristics of this just man. Really, every Christian is called to be a just person. As we look at it this morning, a just man will be impartial in his judgments and will not hesitate to pronounce a verdict against sin. Now, impartial meaning treating all rivals or disputants equally, arguers equally, unbiased, unprejudiced, nonpartisan, okay, impartial. A just man will not hesitate to pronounce that verdict against sin. Okay, and yes, I mean judge sin. Oh, we should judge? Yes, we should. If God judges it as sin, so should we. And the just man does that. The just man may have to make a decision concerning someone he loves. Okay, but he will not let a relationship, any relationship, keep him from doing what is right, or keep that just person won't stop from doing right, even if it involves a relationship of theirs. Even Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 37, even Jesus said, he that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Now the just man would love his mother or father. The just man would love his son or daughter. The just person would love their relatives and their kin. But the just man would properly make a judgment against sin if it involved them. Even though the just man is a very blessed man, there is a price to pay. Evildoers often dislike those who are just. However, the eternal reward will far exceed any earthly discomfort or sacrifice for being this just person. Okay? When the Bible speaks of a just person or a just man, certainly when the Bible speaks of a just man, so I'm going to use the term just man a lot. The Bible uses just man, okay? Certainly, us men need to perk up and listen, but it applies to the women as well, okay? When the Bible speaks of man or a man, you need to look at the context of where that verse is at, the context of the verses around it, the context of the chapter in the book. Who is the intended audience? And here the application really is to all Christians, not just men for just men, but not just men, okay? The Hebrew word that is translated just is also translated righteous many times. And so that gives us an idea of what just means. Now, there are many descriptions of a godly person that we should study and try and be like, which is why one reason that I studied out the just man. But there's the righteous man, the just man, a person of integrity. There's the wise person or the prudent person, the person of understanding. These are all words and phrases and things that we should study to know what the Bible has to say about them, to check our own lives to see if we're following after those things. So that if there are these descriptions, I should want to know what they are and what I need to change or improve in my life to be like them. They're all good words. They're all good goals. But they're not all the same. And I should understand what they are so I can work to bring them into my life or bring my life into conformance with what God wants, which is why we study the Word of God. And so God certainly wants you and I to be just and not unjust. So what is this? So we're going to take a look at three things this morning. First of all, go to Proverbs 9:9. Okay, Proverbs 9:9. As you can well imagine, Proverbs has a lot to say about the just man. And it's very easy for you and I, it's really easy for me to say, okay, well, I understand what being just is, and I try and be that way, okay. But really, this and any other good quality or characteristic deserves some of our attention to understand what the Bible says, and that's what we're doing. Number one, we're going to look at the actions of the just man, the actions of a just man. Okay. First of all, the just man learns what he is taught. Okay. Again, the Bible uses the term just man, but it's for all of us Christians. In Proverbs 9:9, the Bible says, give instruction to a wise man and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man and he will increase learning. So if I look at that, one of the things I can check myself is, do I increase in learning as I sit where you're sitting, listening to Pastor teach from the Word of God? Does my learning increase, or do I just let it go in one ear and out the other ear? This is a person who listens to sound teaching and takes on board that which is taught. He or she gives diligence to understanding, and he gives diligence to understanding and remembering that good instruction, and of course, being discerning about bad or wrong instruction. There's an example of this. If you go to Acts chapter 10, now we'll go back to Proverbs, but we're going to go to Acts chapter 10. We have a biblical example of a just man increasing in learning. In Acts chapter 10, in verse 22, we have the account of Cornelius. And in Acts 10:22, the Bible says, "And they said, Cornelius the centurion, a just man, and one that feareth God, and of good report among all the nation of the Jews, was warned from God by an holy angel to send for thee into his house, and to hear words of thee." Cornelius had this vision to call for Peter, and he gathered a bunch of people in his house, and they were, and especially Cornelius was eager to hear that which Peter had to say. And in verse 33 of that same chapter of Acts, the Bible says, "Immediately, therefore, I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now, therefore, are we all here to present before God, to hear all things that are commanded thee of God." And we find at the end of this chapter that they obeyed what they heard, and they were eager to get baptized. So if you look at the chapter and you look at what was going on, Cornelius was especially eager to hear, and he increased in his learning because he listened. So there's an example of, and the Bible calls him a just man and shows that he increased in learning. And so a just man learns what he is taught. Okay, that's one of the actions of a just man. I have to ask myself, do I learn what I'm taught, or do I just hear it and let it go? Am I discerning about what I'm taught? Do I increase in my learning? A just man does that. Number two, the just man walks in his integrity. Now, we've all had lessons on integrity. Integrity is something very, it's very good to aim for and have in our lives, each and every one of us. Go back to Proverbs chapter 20. But a just man is specifically called out as walking in his integrity. In Proverbs 20 and verse 7, the Bible says, "The just man walketh in his integrity. His children are blessed after him." There's a couple things in there. Of course, I want to walk in my integrity, and I want my children to be blessed. We'll talk about that one in just a little bit. The just man walketh in his integrity. Integrity being the quality of being honest, I would say all the time, and having strong moral principles, moral uprightness, all the time, no matter who's around or who's not around. That's integrity. The just man walks in this integrity. Now, go over to Matthew chapter 1. We have another Bible example of this. So we have a Bible example of a man or a person walking in their integrity. So Matthew chapter 1 and verses 18 and 19. Familiar verses. Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily." Okay? Now we know the story here that Mary and Joseph were espoused. Okay? The Bible uses the term husband. We know there's some differences culture-wise and practice-wise there. So they had not come together in marriage yet. And so she was found to be with child, we know, of the Holy Ghost. We praise the Lord for that. And Joseph, being a just man, didn't want to make her public, didn't want to shame her, didn't want to cast bad light on Mary. He walked in his integrity. And so we have this example of a just man. Job was spoken of four times in the book of Job as having integrity. Job was. Six times in Psalms, integrity is mentioned. Six times. In Psalm 26:11, the Bible says, "But as for me, I will walk in mine integrity. Redeem me and be merciful unto me." There's a prayer that I want to pray, that I need to try and pray. It's, the psalmist wrote, "But as for me, I will walk." It's a decision. "I will walk in mine integrity. Redeem me and be merciful unto me," he prays to the Lord. Three times in Proverbs, and of course one of them we're looking at, integrity is mentioned. And so the just man, and the book of Proverbs links, the just man walks in his integrity. The whole lesson on integrity, we could go on for several hours about integrity. But the just man, so as we're looking at the just man, and as we're looking at these qualities and we're saying, is this something the Lord can look at me and say, here's a just man. This is one of the qualities. This is one of his actions, so to speak. He walks in his integrity. And that should be our aim and desire as well. Okay, number three, we're looking at actions of the just man. So actions of the just man. So far, we have the just man. He learns what he's taught. He walks in his integrity. And then, and we mentioned this before, the just man is not afraid to pronounce a verdict to provide justice. Or he's not afraid to pronounce a verdict on sin. Go to Proverbs 21:15. Proverbs 21:15. I love the book of Proverbs. It's always it's a great assignment, or it's a great exercise if you can work in to your devotions reading a chapter of Proverbs every day, and just keep doing that. And it's enriching to do that. Proverbs 21:15, Bible says, "It is joy to the just to do judgment, but destruction shall be to the workers of iniquity." It is joy to the just to do judgment. This doesn't say that the just man loves to go pointing out someone's sin. Okay? It doesn't say that the just man goes around saying, "You're wrong and I'm better than that." No. But it is joy to do judgment, judgment according to the word of God, judgment against sin. The example is Samuel. Now, you don't have to turn there, but in 1 Samuel chapter 15, the Lord, through Samuel, tells King Saul to go and destroy the Amalekites completely. I'm going to flip over here. It's in 1 Samuel chapter 15. But the Lord, through Samuel, tells King Saul to go and destroy the Amalekites completely. Everybody and everything. Everybody means everybody. And everything means everything. Okay? But Saul, as you recall, did not obey. He spared the king of the Amalekites, and he spared the goodly animals and possessions. And in 1 Samuel 15:19, the Bible says, and Samuel speaking here, "Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil, and it's evil in the sight of the Lord." Now, this is King Saul. This is a powerful man. This is a man of stature, of position, a man who has servants and armies, and you would think he's a great man, okay? And here's Samuel saying, "You done did wrong," okay? And the Lord said to do something, and you didn't do it. Okay, now we can look at Samuel. You know, he's a prophet of the Lord and all that, but he was a just man in that he pronounced a verdict on sin. Sin is sin, and we ourselves should be able and should be willing to pronounce sin as sin. Sometimes that means a confrontation. Sometimes that means a separation from somebody or some entity. Sometimes it means that, but we should be that just person that is not afraid to pronounce a verdict on sin. And so, and Samuel saw the evil that Saul committed. He saw Saul's sin. You say it three times fast. He saw Saul's sin. Okay? I wrote it. I didn't say it here. But the sin had to be called out. Okay? It had to be called what it was, sin against the Lord. And so the just man, and this is a Bible example of a just man, is not afraid to render a verdict about sin. And I have to look at my own life, and of course we're called to look at our own lives. When we're faced when a sinful situation, either we're faced with it or confronted with it, or listen, if we see a friend or family member in that sinful situation, are we willing in a loving and caring way to say, no, that's wrong? A loving and caring, would not that be right? That would be a characteristic of a just person, okay? So the actions of the just man, or the actions of the just person. The just man learns what he is taught. He walks in his integrity, and he's not afraid, or she is not afraid, to pronounce a verdict to provide justice or to call out sin for what it is, sin. So the actions of the just man. Secondly, the characteristics of the just man. So again, if we look back, if we're looking at what we're looking at this morning, I want to know about this just man. It is something God put in his word. So how is it applicable to me? And how can I improve my life before God to adhere or be like this just man? First of all, the just man has speech worth hearing. Go back to Proverbs, or if you're in Proverbs chapter 10. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 20. The just man has speech worth hearing. Okay? Proverbs 10:20. Proverbs 10:20. The tongue of the just is as choice silver. The heart of the wicked is little worth. Now, Proverbs 10:31, same chapter, just a few verses down. Proverbs 10:31, the mouth of the just bringeth forth wisdom, but the froward tongue shall be cut out. You know, I have to, whenever I see verses about the tongue, the mouth, my words, man, I got to really take a look at that and really check myself. How did I do that day? What am I going to do this day? How have I done? As you know what James talks about our tongue, I don't know the exact words, but it talks about the fire of hell. Our tongue. I got to check myself. And so the just man, am I being a just man with my speech? I don't know about you, but I enjoy listening to someone who is just. Okay? I enjoy listening to them. When they talk about issues of life or issues of the world or of spiritual things. Okay? I enjoy listening to them. I usually learn something from them. I enjoy hearing speech worth hearing. I enjoy hearing this wisdom of a just person. In 1 Kings chapter 10, we find that the queen, 1 Kings chapter 10, the queen of who? Sheba. So 1 Kings chapter 10, the queen of Sheba came down to listen to King Solomon. I realize King Solomon, later in his life, he got a little bit off track. But in 1 Kings chapter 10, verse 3, we find, and Solomon told her all her questions, the queen of Sheba. There was not anything hid from the king which he told her not. Now, she had heard of his wisdom. She had heard of his fame. She had heard all these things. So she went to hear words of wisdom. Okay, I would say she came to hear the words worth hearing. Okay? You know, it's like the book of Proverbs. They're words worth hearing. Solomon wrote most of the Proverbs. They're words worth hearing. A just man has words, has speech worth hearing. Even Jesus mentions the fact that the Queen of Sheba came to hear the words of a just man. In Matthew 12:42, Jesus says, "The Queen of the South shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, for she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here." But he mentions her as coming to hear those words of wisdom, coming to hear the words of a just man. Okay? A just man's speech is not froward, a word meaning perverse or ungovernable. I think I got that right. A just man's words are words of knowledge and wisdom. They're not unclean. They're not unwise. They're not wicked words. They're words, it's speech worth hearing. And so a just man has words worth hearing. I have to take a look at myself. You ought to take a look at yourself. Are your words worth hearing? Are they just words? Okay. Secondly, the just man rises up when he falls. I had to look at this one real close. A just man rises up again when he falls. Go back to Proverbs chapter 24. This was our text verse, if you will, for our lesson. Proverbs 24:16. Proverbs 24:16. The just man rises up again when he falls. For a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again. And on the eighth time, he's done. No, it doesn't say that. You're reading the Bible. For a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief. One commentator wrote, "He, the just man, falls seven times into trouble. But by the blessing of God upon his wisdom and integrity..." Oh, speech worth hearing. "And he walking in his integrity, he rises again. He sees through his troubles and sees better times after them." The just man sometimes falls seven times, perhaps into sin or sins of infirmity, though through the surprise or the habit of temptation. But he rises again by repentance, finds mercy with God, and regains his peace. Seven times, as you know, is a phrase for an uncertain but numerous number. Okay? We have the example of Peter. Peter, what, denied Christ three times, right? But yet we find Peter preaching at Pentecost, right? Rises up again. This is an important one about the just man. This is an important one for you and I. Don't you and I fall sometimes? I think so. Not that that's an excuse for sin, but when you fall, you confess your sin and don't let it defeat you. The just man falleth seven times and rises up again. Don't let it be your defeat. Don't let it be your teacher. Again, not using it as an excuse for sin. Well, okay, I'm going to sin. I'm just going to rise up again. That's not the point. Don't buy into Satan's lies. The lie that it's just no use. You're too bad to do any better. You're too bad to be pleasing to the Lord, so you might as well just keep doing it. Wrong. Wrong, wrong. The just man or the just person falleth seven times, gets up after a fall, confesses the sin to the Lord, and gets moving in a direction that pleases the Lord. Reminded in James 4:8, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands. Well, if you're going to cleanse your hands have been dirty, right? Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Purify your hearts. That means there's been a sin problem. Get up again. The just man falleth seven times and gets up again. Gets up when he falls. Thirdly, the just man is not friends with an unjust man. Okay, not friends with an unjust man. Back in Proverbs, verse 29, verse 27. Proverbs 29:27. An unjust man is an abomination to the just. Boy, isn't that true these days? Brother Eric made, mention of that. You know, all this wickedness going on, and we are certainly abomination to those out there with all those wicked, knuckleheaded ideas. Okay? And he that is upright in the way is abomination to the wicked. An unjust man is an abomination to the just, and he that is upright in the way is abomination to the wicked. Unjust here, the second word of the verse, means one with, it means iniquity or perverseness. Remember Korah? Okay, the rebellion of Korah. Okay, in Numbers chapter 16, verses 1 and 2. So there's our example. Now Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, and Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and On, the son of Peleth, the sons of Reuben, took men. Okay, they stirred up men, and they rose up before Moses with certain of the children of Israel, 250 of them, princes of the assembly, famous in the congregation, men of renown. Okay. At this point, Moses wasn't friends with these guys. Okay, they're rising up against him. Okay, this would be an example of being an abomination to the just. What they're doing is not right. What they're doing is ungodly. Okay. It is interesting in that story, as I studied that story out about Korah. You know the story. So there was the rebellion of Korah, and then what happened? How did God take care of them? The earth split open and swallowed them up. And the sight of the congregation of Israel. Now, who knows what I would do? Because I'm just as sinful. But, the earth swallowed them up. And the very next day, the rest of the congregation of Israel came to Moses and Aaron and said, "You killed the men of God." Anyways, so craziness. But they were being unjust. Okay, Moses wasn't being friendly with them. Okay, Moses was showing signs here of being a just man. Okay, certainly we have many warnings in Scripture about having the right friends and the right influences in our life. An unjust man is an abomination to the just. So there's a characteristic of the just man. So the righteous, here's a couple verses about having the right friends or the right influences in our life. The righteous, Proverbs 12:26, is more excellent than his neighbor, but the way of the wicked seduces them. Okay, the way of the wicked, righteous men. Proverbs 13:20, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise. So that would mean, well, it goes on to say, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Okay, he that walketh with unwise men, he that walketh with unjust men will be unjust. Okay, an unjust man is an abomination to the just. Direct reference to being a just person means we're going to watch who our influences are. We're going to watch who our friends are, and we're going to separate from those things that are unrighteous or wicked. So there's many, many more verses about that. So characteristics of a just man. So we had some actions of the just man. We've got some characteristics. The just man has speech worth hearing. The just man rises up again when he falls. The just man is not friends with an unjust man. And very quickly, as we wind down here, the rewards of the just man, the rewards. So again, as I study this out, of course, as we study these things out, if you were to do a study on the just man or a man of integrity or some other thing in the book of Proverbs or any other book of the Bible, it's good to take the time and meditate about those verses. And Lord, do they apply to me? And Lord, is this something that you can describe me as? Very quickly, we'll run through these. The rewards of a just man. Number one, the just man's children are blessed. They're happy. Okay? Proverbs 20, verse 7. The just man walketh in his integrity, and his children are blessed after him. I can tell you that was very convicting to me, having children. I don't want to see them not be blessed in their life because of my unjustness. So I need to be a just man. In Proverbs 3:33, the just man's home is blessed. Proverbs 3:33, the curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked, but he blesseth the habitation of the just. So right there, my children and my home. Is it worth the sin of being unjust to have a curse on my home and a curse on my children? No, I want my children to be blessed and I want my home to be blessed because I'm a just man, or I'm aiming to be a just man, okay? The just man. Now, there's one last one here, and I just want to quickly explain it. In Proverbs Proverbs 12:21. Just go there real quick. We'll be done. Proverbs 12:21 says, "There shall no evil happen to the just, but the wicked shall be filled with mischief." Now, the title of this particular section is "The Just Man is Kept from Trouble." Okay? The just man is kept from trouble. Here it says, "There shall no evil happen to the just." Well, you and I know that we go through trials. You and I know that we would look at the trials we go through day to day and say, "Oh, that's evil happening to me." Okay? But in order to understand this, as I study this out, I need to look at what a couple godly biblical commentators said. One commentator said, this first part of the verse, "There shall no evil happen to the just," says, could be paraphrased, not in an unbiblical way here, "Nothing happens in vain to the just. God always takes the long-range view. Since we tend to be preoccupied with the short-range view, oh, bad day today, evil's happening to me, this proverb seems overly optimistic to us, saying, hey, no evil's going to happen to the just. Some even say the statement simply isn't true. Well, it's in God's word, and so it is true. God, however, plans for the long haul and speaks from his omniscient perspective about the vastness of eternity. We know that in Romans 8:28, the Bible says, all things work together for good to them that love God. And we use this verse many times specifically when trials are happening to us. So God says those things work for good. And so when we read Proverbs 12:21, it's really saying that, you know, being a just person, we're being supported by God. We're being carried through by God. We're being trained by God. We're being loved by God. And he's not going to let that trial overwhelm us with evil. The wicked, yeah, they'll get overwhelmed in their evil. And their evil will overtake them, but not for the just man. I hope that's been a help to you. It was just a study I did on the just man and the word of God. And so we praise the Lord for the truth of the scripture on this.
Thank you for joining us by way of the internet today. We're so glad that you were able to be with us, and we pray that the service was a blessing to your heart. Even though the sermon is over, our service is not over. At the end of our service, we give an opportunity for people to respond and come to an altar and pray over what God dealt with them about. Sometimes people come to call upon Christ and to be saved. Others come to make a decision for Christ regarding their Christian lives. Others come to call out to the Lord about special needs and situations in their lives. Maybe God has dealt with you today about some specific area of your life. I invite you to make an altar right there in your home, a quiet time before the Lord where you pray to him and respond to him about what he has spoken to you about. If you made a decision for the Lord today, we would be glad to hear about that decision and or answer any questions you have today about the message that was preached. You can contact us by way of email at info@mountziononline.org or by way of phone at 717-927-9227. Again, we thank you for joining us today, and we look forward to you joining us again for our live stream weekly on Sundays at 10:45 a.m. and on Sunday evenings at 6:45 p.m. If we can meet a need in your life, please do not hesitate to contact us. Thank you, and God bless you.